You're listening to Community Conversations on the Forum on the Hill. From 4 to 6 p.m. each day this week, we'll talk with lawmakers, educators, health professionals, and local leaders in an effort to promote collaboration on community-wide issues. Let's navigate the path forward together. Presented by Alliance Health, Chapel Hill Transit, Durham Technical Community College, Grub Properties, Trinsic Residential Group, and UNC Health. The Forum on the Hill. Only on 97.9 The Hill and chapelboro.com.
And welcome back into the Forum on the Hill. Aaron Kick with you in 97.9 The Hill Studios. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today as we talk about some of the many important issues and topics facing our community and talk about solutions and opportunities to move forward and make our community even better than where it currently stands. This hour, we're talking about tourism and the arts. These are two industries that are vital in so many different ways for our community and really for any community. Also, two industries that have arguably taken the biggest hit from the COVID-19 pandemic. So a lot of challenges facing those industries, but also a lot of opportunities moving forward. We've got three special guest panelists here in the studio with us this hour. Patty Griffin is the Director of Communications for the Chapel Hill Orange County Visitors Bureau. Patty, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
Anthony Carey is the General Manager for the Sienna Hotel, just up the road from us on East Franklin Street. Anthony, thank you so much for being with us today.
Absolutely. Good to be here.
And last but not least, Katie Murray, who is the director of the Orange County Arts Commission. Katie, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Aaron.
So a lot that we can talk about, and I know we, as per usual with the forum, we won't be able to scrape the surface of a lot of the things that we could discuss, but I want to begin, and Katie, I'll start with you, by just getting an overview of where things stand from your perspective, not even just in the wake of COVID-19, because that's dominated so much of the conversation in the last 2 years, but we're just coming on the end of 2021, we're moving into a new year. What is the state of the Orange County Arts Commission in particular, and what's the state of the arts community in Orange County? Where do things stand? Where are folks, and what do they need? What do they have?
Well, the answer to that question is very different depending on if you're talking about specifically the Arts Commission or the arts community overall. I have never been more thankful as I've been over the last almost 2 years to be a county-funded department, a county-funded employee. That is not common in North Carolina, especially those of us who are the partner agencies with the State Arts Council. There's only two of us who are government employees. So,
what's the other one?
It's Stokes County.
All right.
Yeah, real rural up there on the Virginia-North Carolina line. I'm so thankful for that because we have the backing of the county and have been able to help the arts community in many different ways without having to worry, you know, oh my gosh, are we going to have to shut our doors, which is the norm with most of the arts community, not just here in Orange County, but nationally and internationally, really. You know, the whole nature of the arts is having audiences. And if you can't have people gather, you're kind of stuck. And it really doesn't matter if you're talking about visual arts or performing arts. So it's been pretty bad, but then at the same time, you know, we've had so many federal, state, and local resources come available that have really kept our organizations hanging on. Here in Orange County, we have not lost one arts organization. I'm so thankful for that. And that is because we've had these public resources come available that we've been able to get out into the community.
What, this is kind of a bleak counterfactual, but what would the state of things be without that?
Oh, it would be, I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, that has been the lifeline, just like with, I'm sure, the greater tourism industry. Programs like, you know, PPP and now, you know, recently the American Rescue Plan, I mean, they explicitly name tourism industries, including the arts, as areas that need relief. And that has been heard. That's been heard by our state government. It's also been heard by our local government. Orange County was one of the first counties in the state to allocate ARPA funding for the arts. Back in June, they allocated $100,000 that we were able to get out over the summer to arts organizations. So I'm thankful to be in a community that gets it, and our elected leadership understands it too.
What are some of the things that you've done in the last 2 years to help artists and arts organizations? I know just speaking with, and I get the opportunity to host Live and Local, and I'm in the local music scene, and I get to talk to musicians all the time and artists as well. And so many times I have conversations with folks and just unsolicited, oh, the Orange County Arts Commission, they've done such good work. But what are some of the things that you've done?
Well, that makes me feel good. the thing I'm most proud of is our relief fund that we started back in March of 2020. And we issued our last round of grants back in May when we thought that this whole thing was over. We raised about $150,000 that we gave out to grants to individual people and organizations as well. And that was just a grassroots effort. The average donation was $100. So it was, you know, just a lot of people giving a little bit of money, and it just made me feel really good knowing that our community understood that need. We did that. We did a first-time event back in March with my fellow arts councils in Durham, Wake, and Chatham counties called Big Night In for the Arts, which was a major fundraiser with WRAL. I'm about to say WCHL. And that one-night event raised $300,000 for the arts community of the Triangle. And then we've also been able to open this space in Hillsboro, this Eno Mill, which has, you know, provided physical space for the arts. It's provided 15 studios for working artists. It's provided gallery space, teaching space. So, you know, we've still been able to address some of the needs that were present before the pandemic that have just been magnified since the pandemic happened.
The arts industry here in Orange County is one of the things that makes our community most attractive, not just for people living here, but also for people who are coming in to visit. And I want to bring in Patty Griffin from the Chapel Hill Orange County Visitors Bureau for really that same initial question. What is your overview of where things stand from your perspective when it comes to the tourism industry and the businesses and the organizations and the people whose lives and livelihoods depend on that industry?
Well, Aaron, really when you look at it, it's a dollars and cents thing. I mean, the visitor spending in Orange County in 2019 was $245 million. That was the economic impact. That was spending on lodging and retail and recreation and transportation. That was payroll. That was local and state taxes. And then a year later, it's down to $128 million after COVID-19 that first year. So that was almost a 48% decrease. We did see in the hospitality industry as a whole, as you mentioned when we first started, that a lot of people lost their jobs. There was a lot of furloughs and a lot of layoffs, and the tourism industry was impacted tremendously. The restaurant industry impacted tremendously. So we're, you know, working our way, you know, to pull ourselves out of that. We like Katie, also we're Orange County employees, so we were able to get some funds to help with promotion. We worked with Visit NC on some marketing. We were able to get some recovery grants as well. So we were very, very thankful for that. Also CARES funding, you know, through Orange County. So that helped us tremendously. But we do have a long, long way to go. Just looking at occupancy, we were at 67% at our hotels in 2019. We dropped down to below 40%. We had some months where we were in the teens, and, you know, people just weren't traveling. They couldn't travel. We had basically there were lockdowns and mandates to stay at home. So we, you know, we did our best. We started out with a safety message. You know, we wanted people to follow the three W's, and then we worked our way through to try to help the restaurants and the hotels and others to do what we could in terms of getting getting the local folks out into the restaurants and into the shopping. So it's a progress, but it's moving along and it's progressing.
I remember the first couple of days of the pandemic before any lockdowns or mandates or anything, and I think people have a tendency in retrospect and long-term memory being what it is collectively, that people tend to blame the lockdowns for people not going out to restaurants or hotels anymore. But pre-lockdown, Brad and I would go out to restaurants to make sure that we supported them, because we were hearing anecdotally that people weren't going, and people weren't going. Like the restaurants were empty, arts venues were empty, and that was before any lockdowns happened, because people were making their own choices to stay home. And with that in mind, I hear 48% of, like a 48% drop between 2019 and 2020. And I have to ask, when you saw that number, was that stark? Was that bleak, or was that a relief? Because I could imagine it having been much worse than that.
Well, we knew it was going to be a tremendous drop.
Yeah.
But one of the things is these statistics do look at domestic and international travel, where in the past it only looked at domestic travel. But really, there really wasn't much international travel at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess on the one hand, it was cut in half, 50%, but we just have to start over and push mm-hmm. it back. We were seeing anywhere between $9 to $10 million a year increase from year to year to year, and 245 was a record for us. Mm-hmm. And then to see it drop due to a worldwide pandemic, which of course no one could foresee that. We just basically said, okay, let's get started and get this back up.
I know you won't have the numbers for this year for a while, but anecdotally, or based on what you have right now in terms of statistics, how have things come back, or have they come back this year?
Well, I think things are starting to come back. We are seeing our occupancy up. We are seeing, a year ago, our attractions weren't open. And now they're all open, for the most part, back to normal visitation in terms of the hours that they're open. I think maybe the Moorhead Planetarium is still only open on the weekends, but they're so dependent on school children traveling, to Chapel Hill to see those star shows and to visit the planetarium, which I hope they get to do very, very soon. It was such a wonderful renovation that they did, and we'd like to see people come back to that. But so there are those attractions that are able to see now and go do, and so I think we're seeing things progress. We still have some challenges, but we're moving in the right direction.
Speaking with Patty Griffin and Katie Murray, we also have Anthony Carey here, general manager of the Siena Hotel, and we've been talking about kind of big picture statistics and trends. But you've been on the ground through the last 2 years. You've seen all of the impacts firsthand. What's it been like? Like, what has your experience been for the last 2 years, and where do things stand now?
Yeah. So in the hotel industry, we're used to hurricanes, we're used to power outages, we're used to snowstorms, ice storms. And there's always an end in sight. And mm-hmm. so that keeps your mental health in check. This really challenged our industry. We still don't see, and we keep having a false sense of seeing it. You know, it's almost like out in the desert, and we're looking, oh, there's the water. No, there's not. That's not the end of the pandemic. So that to me is the still number one cause of stress and anxiety in our industry, is not seeing the end and not knowing when it's coming. And so we are so uncertain. As we put budgets together and we put numbers together, we really don't have a good understanding of what's to come in 22 still. And that's scary. What's been great through all of this is we really got to know our community more. As we came out of the restaurants being closed in May and opening back up, Orange County really stepped up and visited the restaurants and did tons of takeout and supported us. And shame on us for not getting to know our neighbors. So what I loved about it is we really became a neighborhood restaurant, and it wasn't just special occasions anymore. And people from the Lakeshore neighborhood were walking over, and we had locals staying with us. you know, Kim Bailey from Lake Hogan Farms did a staycation, and then she, you know, rallies her neighborhood together so beautifully that they, for 4th of July, did mini putt in everyone's driveway, and you just go house to house. And so the hotel industry really grabbed hold of the community, and we got to see so many of our neighbors stay at our hotels, so many of our neighbors dine in our restaurants and do takeout, that it was just warming to be a part of our community.
Mm-hmm. You had that great tent set up outside.
Yeah.
It was just such a great
idea. I'll tell you, Aaron, you know, we decided to take it down recently, and I saw some episodes of MASH recently, and that's what it felt like. It was like a triage unit out front. At first, it was fun, and there were lights, and there was a tent. It's an event. And then it just became sad and broken. I'm like, oh. So I said, let's take it down. Let's do it. We're vaccinated. Our county, and thank you for Orange County for taking the vaccination so seriously. Mm-hmm. And our school's doing such a great job, and our university. You know, October, building off what Patty was saying, was a really strong month for the hotels. Demand was up almost 6,000 room nights over the previous October. So occupancy being 10% higher. But the revenue number, $2.7 million in hotel sale, overnight lodging, up 139% from the previous October. So there is recovery happening, and the university, with its testing and its vaccination push, made all the difference in the world. The arts are doing such a great job. My wife and I loved going to the craft fairs down at Saxboro Hall. We did Saxboro Hall, Botanical Gardens, and University Place this weekend, and ran into some great people, and everyone's masked up, everyone's taking care of each other, everyone is loving and respecting each other, and so, you know, that's so great to see. So who knows what's going to happen in our industry, who knows what's to come, but living in Orange County and working in Orange County is just that much easier.
We talked so much about what's changed in the last 2 years. What did you not change in the last 2 years? What if anything, is still the same now as it was in 2018-19?
Taking care of our associates and our guests. Mm-hmm. The industry gets a bad rap. The restaurant industry and the hotel industry not paying associates well. And that just really frustrates me. And there's so many great hotels in our community that are paying living wages, that are taking great care of our associates. And that didn't stop. That intensified. Taking care of our guests coming in and being scared. Orange County and the Visitors Bureau did a phenomenal job informing and preparing the visitors for when they came to our county what to expect and to be safe. I remember in the heart of the summer of 20, Orange County did such a great job of quickly changing its media campaign to having people with masks in its advertisement and social media that we were really inundated on the weekends with staycation because people were like, you're taking it seriously and I need to get out. So let's do this.
Yeah. Back to Patty Griffin on that, because I know that was such a key focus for the Visitors Bureau in 2020 and a really quick pivot to encouraging folks to be tourists in their own town. How successful was it, and how sustained are you seeing that now moving forward for people kind of getting into the habit and continuing to do that?
Well, I think it was very successful. As was mentioned, we did work a lot on staycations. We did work a lot on the local community, you know, be a tourist in your own town. Take the opportunity to, if you've never visited Ackland, or if you've never walked through the Botanical Garden, or you've never gone up to Hillsborough and walk the Riverwalk, or in Carrboro and go to the farmer's market. Take all that opportunity and do that and experience all these great things that we have there, this wonderful product that we have, not only for visitors to enjoy, but for our local neighbors here to enjoy as well. So I think it's went really well. We're still primarily a drive market, so a lot of our promotions will still be in that area for a while, but for obviously a good portion of over the last year, we have focused on our local community and getting them out into the restaurants and getting them, you know, into our attractions and so forth.
You say drive market, is that just people driving in from out of the area?
It's driving rather than getting on a plane and flying here. And we tend to be a mid-Atlantic destination for the most part.
I was going to say, you have and tell me if I'm wrong, you have a vision in your head for the typical, kind of prototypical visitor to Chapel Hill in Orange County, right?
Well, I mean, I think we've done some research over the year. Our visitors tend to be an older couple, a little higher income, you know, that has disposable income that they can come and spend. You know, they like to experience our, you know, our wonderful hotels, the Carolina Inn, the Sienna, of course. Go check out the new Colonial Inn. They like to eat in our great restaurants and go to our wonderful arts events. And so that our visitor tends to be, you know, that age bracket.
Is it the same today as it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
I think it is. I think it is. Yeah.
Over to Katie Murray from the Arts Commission. Kind of along those same lines, people attending arts events, people supporting arts organizations and going to galleries, going to shows. How have you seen that change? Is it more local? Is it less? Has the demographics changed?
I think it's been one of those situations where you don't appreciate what you have until it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And going this long without being able to be in a crowd with other people experiencing something has just made people hungry. So I know, you know, the organizations that I'm in constant contact with that have been returning to in-person programming have seen probably not quite the crowds that, you know, they had pre-pandemic, especially for indoor functions. People are still getting comfortable. But for outdoor events, like I know the music series that Town of Chapel Hill did, I mean, they had a great response. I think people are, and we've had a great response with our events we've been doing at the Mill in Hillsboro. People just are ready. They are ready to get out and not just experience the arts again, but I think just be with other people, because there's just a different experience being in a crowd with someone shoulder to shoulder, as opposed to watching something on your computer screen. It's just different.
And speaking with Katie Murray, Anthony Carey, Patty Griffin, Tourism and the Arts is our panel. Anthony, you're 100% in agreement with that, I can tell.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm tired of Zoom, Katie.
Me too.
And I just, you know, Aaron, hats off to you guys. Your concert series this summer was unreal.
Oh, we loved it.
Yeah. Would have thought Asphalt would have been that attractive?
Yeah, right.
But we couldn't get enough. What a cool
very
stage.
Very hot in July, but also
we
very
didn't care.
Attractive.
No one cared. Packed, sold out.
So we had just had a conversation on higher education, and it was J.B. Buxton and William Sturkey, and those were two people who are really significant in their respective universities who were just meeting for the first time. The three of you know each other very well, right?
Yes.
So how has your relationship, your working relationship, changed and not changed in the last 2 years? How have the relationships that you built over the years been important, and how have they evolved getting through the last couple?
You know, I think if you care for someone and you have a little love in your heart for your community and what and respect for what we do, there's, you know, nothing that you can't get through. And mm-hmm. So I think that's really what shined through with all of this, is we respected and cared for each other, from the arts to the hospitality industry, that it was, we all just jumped in and did everything we could to share information. And I think the Visitors Bureau did a great job sharing information, connecting us and keeping us connected. Our Zoom calls continued every month for our board meetings. And, you know, we've tried different aspects. And I loved, Katie, I'll say, the email you sent me a couple months ago. We left her out on the round the room. And she said, but I have so much to share. And so
that's why we have to go.
Yeah, but being so comfortable with each other that you could send an email and not worry about, you know, how are they going to take this? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I urgently responded back going, oh my gosh, I don't want you to feel left out. We absolutely want to include you. And I want to increase your presence. Let's do a calendar of events of all you're saying, because you say so much, I can't write as fast as you're talking. And so I think we've improved and strengthened.
Yeah,
Katie?
I agree.
Yeah.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Patty?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, we've all been, well, I've been with the Visitors Bureau for nearly 24 years, and I've been around Anthony for quite a while, and Katie's still fairly new, but we always are excited about, you know, to promote as a visitors bureau the arts and the wonderful programming that she has, and then all the great things going on at our hotels and the wonderful El Palio restaurant that is fantastic. And so I think sometimes obviously when you have a crisis, and this is a crisis, that you it strengthens you. So I think that's what this has done.
Speaking with Patty Griffin, Chapel Hill Orange County Visitors Bureau, Katie Murray of the Orange County Arts Commission, and Anthony Carey of the Siena Hotel. Panel this hour is on tourism and the arts, all part of the Forum on the Hill, presented by Alliance Health, Chapel Hill Transit, Durham Technical Community College, Grub Properties, Trinsic Residential Group, and UNC Health. We're going to take a quick break right now. We're going to continue the conversation when we come back on the Forum on the Hill on 97.9 The Hill. Stay with us.
Stay tuned for more community conversations on the Forum on the Hill, only on 97.9 The Hill and chapelboro.com. From 4 to 6 p.m. each day this week, we'll talk with lawmakers, educators, health professionals, and local leaders in an effort to promote collaboration on community-wide issues. Let's navigate the path forward together. Presented by Alliance Health, Chapel Hill Transit, Durham Technical Community College, Grub Properties, Trinsic Residential Group, and UNC Health. The Forum on the Hill, only on 97.9 The Hill and chapelboro.com.
Orange County residents looking for an affordable way to continue their education can pick up a new skill or change careers with courses at the Durham Tech Orange County campus. Located in Hillsboro, students have access to healthcare programs like anesthesia technology, EMS, and nurse aid, as well as courses in photography, sewing, computers, and English or Spanish. Visit durhamtech.edu to learn more.
Trinsic Residential Group, the firm behind the Aura Development, is proud to sponsor a new monthly segment, the Nonprofit Spotlight. Each month, Ryan Stewart from Trinsic will invite a worthy nonprofit from our community to our station to explain their mission and message. Trinsic Residential is committed to placemaking, best-in-class planning, and construction practices in supporting our community. Thank you, Trinsic Residential Group, for supporting our local nonprofits.
If you live in Orange County and are insured by Medicaid or have no health insurance, meet Alliance Health. Beginning in December, we'll be your bridge to care for mental illness, substance use disorders, and intellectual or developmental disabilities. We're already on the ground listening to community leaders across Orange County to learn how we can work together to manage quality care that helps folks thrive and live their best lives. Visit us today at alliancehealthplan.org.
Chapel Hill Transit is now hiring. They're seeking energetic, passionate, and mission-driven individuals to drive their buses. If you have a great attitude and great customer service skills, they want to meet you. No experience is necessary, and Chapel Hill Transit offers paid training and excellent benefits. Full and part-time positions are available, and they offer flexible shifts. Find out more online at townofchapelhill.org/jobs. Again, that's townofchapelhill.org/jobs.
Jerry and Tina Bell have lived in Chapel Hill for more than 50 years, but still have a fondness for their first home, a cozy two-bedroom apartment in the iconic Glen Lennox neighborhood. Bell remembers carpooling to campus in a loud 1955 Hudson, and Tina recalls sharing wonderful walks with the Baby Carriage Brigade. Read about the Bells and other residents over the last six decades, such as Bland Simpson and Roy Williams, in Glen Lennox Stories in the Town Square section of chapelboro.com.
From star athletes to superfans, UNC Health is dedicated to caring for champions of all kinds. For you, the latest advancements and our greatest expertise are always in play to deliver personalized care with the utmost compassion. It's the kind of care that keeps champions like you and your family in the game when it matters the most. See our lineup at unchealthcare.org/sports.
Welcome back to Community Conversations on the Forum on the Hill. See the full schedule of forum topics by day and catch up on anything you missed at chapelboro.com/forum on the hill.
Welcome back to the Forum on the Hill, presented by Alliance Health, Chapel Hill Transit, Durham Technical Community College, Grub Properties, Trinsic Residential Group, and UNC Health. Thanks to all of those organizations and businesses for making our forum possible this year. Thanks to you for listening, and thanks to all of our guest panelists this hour and all of the other hours for joining us as well. Aaron Keck here with you this hour, and we are talking tourism and the arts, joined in the studio by Patty Griffin, Director of Communications for the Chapel Hill Orange County Visitors Bureau, Katie Murray, the director of the Orange County Arts Commission, and Anthony Carey, the general manager of the Sienna Hotel. And we spent the last half hour and really the last 2 years talking about COVID. Let's move on from that briefly, because there is so much other stuff going on around our community and within the tourism industry and the arts industry and the hotel industry in particular. As we move into next year, what are you looking forward to the most? What's on deck? What initiatives are ongoing? What programs and new developments are coming up that folks ought to know about? Katie Murray, let me start with you. What are you excited about for next year?
I'm excited to see how our organizations continue. I know this word is overused, but pivot, because it is a good word. You know, they have pivoted throughout these last 2 years and tried new things. And I know we were all just talking about how sick of Zoom we are. However, in some regards, the ability to connect to audiences from anywhere in the world has actually really helped some of our organizations. It seems especially helpful when it's things like, you know, the annual gala that is now online. And so no matter where you are, you can tune in and, you know, bid on an auction item and be a part of it. I did the Frank Gala this year from my couch. You know, it was pretty awesome. Like, just, I could wear my jammies and I didn't have to get all dressed up. And
I think they'll let you into the Frank Gallery like that too.
In if my you're, jammies.
Yeah. They won't turn you away.
Yeah. So they've been learning over these last few years what new technology can be incorporated into their programming. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. In terms of the Arts Commission, we just opened a new 7,000 square foot art space in the old historic Eno Mill in Hillsboro, and it's been really well received. And so we're getting ready to go into these cold winter months, so I'm sure it'll slow down a little bit, but I'm excited about the spring and having another gathering space for our community where, you know, everybody's welcome and it's a safe space for all. So I'm excited to really, really get cranking with that.
The opportunities that Zoom provides have been really kind of eye-opening. Mm-hmm. I remember, like, the first time I had a conversation with someone about that was maybe Max Orr at UNC and Carolina Public Humanities, and they always schedule all of these talks and events. They do a lot of flyleaf books and things like that. And there was one time, and he was like, man, you know, for all of the challenges, the fact that we've been able to just pull up a computer and have someone Zooming, like a scholar that we would never be able to get to fly into UNC to give a talk, is now available, and people in Spokane, Washington, and Boise, and anywhere else in the world can just hop on and join us for that conversation. It really has
exactly.
been. Yeah. With that in mind, Anthony Carey, what excites you, and what is upcoming for 2022?
We're excited to continue the get to know your neighbor legacy that's trending still, and we're excited. We're renovating. Carolina Inn's renovating. Visitor Center's moving. Like, we're excited to continue to progress to something great. New hotels coming downtown in the next couple of years are getting ready to go under construction. Sheraton just got renovated. True by Hilton is getting ready to open. So what I'm excited about is making the new normal better, the better normal. So staff are really excited and getting used to wearing masks all the time. We even talked about wearing masks just to be better to each other during the cold flu season. Mm-hmm. You know, I think some things are going to stick with us in addition to Zoom bringing some good things to the world. But my computer stopped working the audio because I zoomed too much.
But even the computer is sick of Zoom.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Yeah. So, Sports, we're excited about concerts. I don't know.
With the hotels coming in, curious, does it help individual hotels to have a thriving hotel market in? Yeah.
Sure. So, you know, what's great about the Orange County's hotel community is we're not cannibalistic. Mm-hmm. We all have a niche and we're not taking from each other at this point. So when the Colonial Inn opened up in Hillsborough, what a fantastic opportunity that was. And we all just cheered as Elise does a great job down there in Hillsborough with the Colonial Inn. And as Manish opened up the Sheraton Chapel Hill, holy smokes. Mm-hmm. You know, I worked there for 6 years when Starwood owned it, and it doesn't look anything like
transformed.
Oh my
right?
gosh, yeah. Really, really, really. And so I'm excited about this new hotel being built downtown. It brings us an extended stay downtown, and with all the office space that's being built there, it helps. Mm. New supply helps demand.
Patty Griffin, Orange County Visitors Bureau. I got to start by talking about the relocation. That's exciting.
Right, it is exciting. We've been in our current location since the front part of the building since 2002. That's when we opened our Welcome Center. And we're just moving down the street. We're moving to 308 West Franklin Street, which is the old Cholinade restaurant. It's going to be totally renovated, a wonderful Welcome Center. When you walk in the first part of the building, we'll each have individual offices, and we're very, very excited. There's going to be some promotions on James Taylor. We're going to be doing having James Taylor music and some other music and so forth, and we're super excited. It's been a long time coming. It seems like the last couple of years they've been working on it. Obviously, when COVID hit, you know, things slowed down in terms of the renovations, but it's picked up the last few months, and hopefully in the next month or so we'll be there, and we'll have a big party when we move, and we'll be welcoming everybody there.
And no loss to Cholinade because they're right next door, right?
Right, yeah. Right. They just moved right next door. Yep. So
What else are you excited about next year?
Well, I'm just excited just to see more visitors through the door. I really enjoy, talking to visitors, where they came from, why they're visiting, what they want to do and see while they're here. And we are seeing some visitors, but we'd like to see a lot more. We'd like to see more conferences and businesses come back because we're truly not going to be back as a tourism industry until that midweek business comes back, the mm-hmm. Monday through Friday, a business traveler, that conference, that meeting. And we're starting to see some of those, but we'll be working on some promotions and some activities in the coming months to again spread the word about all the great properties that we have here to host your meeting. Mm-hmm. So a lot of exciting things coming down.
Do you see businesses and conferences and meetings and things and conventions? How do you see that changing or not changing in the coming years? I mean, Zoom is great, but that really transforms the calculus for how do we schedule a convention and when and where and who comes in and who doesn't?
Well, I think one of the positive things, as Anthony was saying earlier, our hotels, our properties did a fantastic job of pivoting, and many of them put in a lot of money to put safety first. And when people do travel to a destination now, I still think safety is prominent on their minds. And we have properties that are going above and beyond, making sure that not only the guests that visit feel safe, but their the staff that works feel safe. And I think that's a plus for our area. I think that was already mentioned. We are one of the higher vaccination areas. And I truly think that people, when they look to start planning these types of meetings, they're going to look at that. I still think there is a ways to go, because there needs to be kind of a marriage between those that want to attend the actual conference and the meeting planners that we'll be working with to put it on. But I think we're starting to see more. I do know of a larger conference that's coming to the Carolina Inn in the summer, so we're progressing and excited about that.
Safety and vaccination rates, I think, is definitely a selling point. I know that's my selling point. My parents were thinking about coming down to visit in October, and they're like, well, should we? And I'm like, you're in Michigan. I know what the COVID rates are in Michigan, and I've been there, and I've seen how many people wear masks. You should be here anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then they came down, and they had a great time. Awesome. Anthony Carey, I was fascinated by just the business model for hotels and who comes when and how you calculate that. How is that what is that calculation now heading into next year?
We use one of those magic eight balls.
Sure, yeah. That's what I assumed. Okay,
yeah, it's maybe.
Ask again later.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, what we do, we watch a lot of the indicators, and again, the Visitors Bureau and Visit NC does a great job giving us a lot of data.
Mm-hmm. So,
and you know, another great source is RDU.
Mm-hmm.
We get the flight data, and that gives us some trends that are coming and moving our way. But we see the way people book. So Expedia is a great social exchange of reservations. Expedia is on fire. It's going to be most likely leisure. When the corporate travel agencies like BCD Travel start to fire up and we start to see reservations come in from those destinations, that's the corporate coming. And we started to see that transition start to happen in October, November, and still into December, January bookings. They're shifting more from even international, where like GlaxoSmithKline coming over and other pharmaceuticals are coming over, and they're traveling now. So opening up the borders to international, getting a good handle, you know, look at us at same day, kind of vaccination proof to fly. A lot of countries are participating. It's really, really helping us be able to look at those indicators. The weekends are continuing to sell out, and mm-hmm. we've done a really great job with those safety messages that Sunday through Thursday, as Patty was talking about, is just, that's going to be the last piece that comes in with those groups. And the Carolina Inn, I know Mark Sherburn did a great job with his sales team grabbing those groups as soon as the vaccine came out. And then we just watched a lot of them evaporate and go away because it didn't stick like we hoped it to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, hopefully the indicators will show. We'll see these big conferences. If the Carolina Inn, the Sheraton, and the Friday Center fill, the smaller hotels like the Graduate, the Siena, we then fill. Mm-hmm. And so we look to them as indicators as well.
I was going to ask, like, and you kind of touched on it there, how much, like, look at just kind of the general trends for COVID and see how that affects the industry. How much do the like day-to-day and week-to-week and month-to-month fluctuations in like case numbers and what are the headlines in the news, like how much does that affect people's decisions?
The micro of the daily, probably not so much, but mm-hmm. the weekly, monthly messaging, hospitalizations are the key.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of people are, COVID's out there, we're going to get it, we're not so fixated on how many are infected by it now, it's how our hospitalizations on the rise. And, you know, as that number goes down, we see travelers increase. There's a direct correlation on that one.
Where do you see the hotel industry and the Siena specifically mm-hmm. and the industry here in Chapel Hill Carborough in the next 10 years?
Next 10 years, I think we'll be able, knock on wood, get back on track. The assets that are coming into market will make us stronger. Some of our hotels struggle to believe in their brand, and we are Beverly Hills. I mean, we are an address. We are, you know, 27514 and 6 and 5 and 7, but and 10 and 7-8, sorry. Bunch of them there. Sorry, I went off on track there.
There's one left that you're missing. They're like, Anthony.
That should be tomorrow's question with Victor Lewis.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
What question? What zip code did Anthony leave out? But I think that I lost my thought. Aaron?
Kat? You're Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills. So
yeah.
The value of our brand. People want to stay in Chapel Hill. And so what I really hope in the next 10 years is our hotels and properties understand that we shouldn't price gouge by any means. But if we're selling Rolls Royce, we should be selling at a Rolls Royce price. We're not attracting anyone by bringing some Toyotas on our lots, which I drive. But, you know, so our hotels just need to strengthen their rates and be confident that Chapel Hill is a desired destination.
Katie Murray, how do you see the arts community locally developing in the next few years?
I think it's just, again, I think it's going to rebound and bigger than ever, because people have learned that it's something that we cannot take for granted. And, you know, there's a lot of exciting things happening in the arts community here. You know, the Arts Center is working on a new building. There's a lot of exciting things happening at UNC. Carolina Performing Arts just got their new director, Allison Freeman, who, if you haven't met yet, you absolutely have to. She's incredible. You know, there's just, the Hillsborough Arts Council has a new director. Like, there's just a lot of exciting things in the works. And I think that we're just going to see everything continue to improve.
Mm-hmm. What, and we started the hour, you were talking about the extent to which the Arts Commission is publicly funded. It's part of the county, and that's been vital in terms of allowing you to do your job more effectively and more successfully than other arts commissions out there. Beyond that, what do you need or what do you want in terms of support from local government, Orange County, Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Hillsborough, and state government as well that can help you help the arts community?
That would be money. No, I'm just kidding.
You're not kidding at all.
She's not kidding.
No, I'm not. No, it's always, funding is always at the top of the list. And actually the Arts Commission has created a new nonprofit arm. We just got our 501c3 status about a month ago. So that's going to help us. It's going to allow us to do some private fundraising, apply for some grants, things that, you know, typically aren't available to a governmental agency. I think the other big thing, though, is a seat at the table. And I'm not necessarily talking about me, but just the arts in general. When things do start to recover and development, you know, continues to grow in our area, which is still happening despite the pandemic, the arts and our creative community just need to be a part of the conversation. You know, it, something as simple as a multi-million-dollar new construction project, like let's get some public art involved, to bigger issues like, you know, affordable housing. That's an issue that impacts the arts community as well, because many working artists cannot afford the housing prices that we have here in Orange County. So, you know, the arts really can be involved in and related to almost every societal issue that we have. And I would like to see that happen more often. Artists are hands down the best problem solvers that I know. And there's a trend happening nationally where, you know, municipalities and counties and even states are putting artists in residence in their offices just to help with, you know, planning or housing or whatever it may be, because artists' brains work in a different way than the rest of us. So, you know, I just want the arts to be prioritized, not just as quality of life, but something that is critical to the well-being of our community and also an economic driver. Those two things kind of tend to get forgotten by the warm, fuzzy side of the arts, but it's, you know, multifaceted.
The point about housing is important. We just had the conversation about higher education, and we didn't get a chance to talk about it in that hour, but we've had the conversation already this week in the context of housing, for how important it is for things like faculty retention, for UNC faculty members to be able to have access to housing that they can afford in the Chapel Hill area, not having to commute in from outside. But even like if you're a UNC faculty member, you live in Mebane, you live in Burlington, you live in Greensboro, you're still traveling 45 minutes in to teach at UNC because that's where your job is. Artists don't have to commute. So if you live in Mebane, you're an artist in Mebane. If you live in Burlington, you're an artist in Burlington, right?
Well, it depends. Artists still need a venue.
A venue, right.
Whether it's a gallery or whether it's a stage, mm-hmm. They still need a venue. And most likely they're going to go to the venues closer to their home. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we lose the artist residence, you know, we're losing just that entire character and spirit. And, you know, that's what makes us unique. That's what makes every, you know, the arts community of Chapel Hill is not the arts community of Carrboro, is not the arts community of Hillsboro. Yep. It's so hyper-local, and I don't want to lose that.
Anthony Carey, same question to you from before. Yep. In terms of support, what do you need? What does the hotel industry need?
We really need to make sure that this winter we continue to support our restaurants, mm-hmm. our art galleries, our shops. So many great creators are represented in our shops and our retail outlets and our galleries. And as the winter cold hits, vax up and mask up and come out and visit and do takeout and shop online locally and really understand the importance you have economically to impact in a positive way. That's really what we need.
Is that what you've seen happening?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, Siena's not a takeout. You know, Polly's not a takeout restaurant, but it was so strong in the heart of COVID that it really kept our team alive and kept people doing something. People just need to feel important. You know, our owners are phenomenal. We didn't lay anyone off. They paid paychecks and no one lost a paycheck. But it wasn't the paycheck. It was, I want to do something.
Yeah.
I need to do something. But if I may take 30 seconds, I'll piggyback on Katie and the arts. I think what's also really important about the arts in the future, in the next 10 years, is our schools are losing in the arts.
Yes.
What the heck is going on there, guys?
Yes.
People that are dying to be professional in this industry, we are in such a beautiful community. How are we there's only, from a musical arts, there's only one marching band in all of the high schools. How is that possible? How is music not the forefront? I mean, live and local, I can't wait for 6 o'clock to roll around, right? And the art programs in the high schools and the middle schools, we've got to really make sure that we bring that forward for the youth.
Katie,
next generation.
You seem to agree with that.
Oh my gosh. I could sit here for another 2 hours and talk about that. Yeah, and it's not just, I don't know. I mean, there are just studies upon studies that show that the kids that have exposure to the arts in school go on to have, you know, better SAT scores. They have better college admission rates, lower dropout rates. I mean, and it leads to individuals who are better critical thinkers, which is a major quality that employers look for. So no, you don't necessarily need a music lesson in fifth grade to become a professional cellist, but you need that exposure to, you know, activating that other part of your brain so that you can go on to be successful in whatever it is that you end up doing in life. So, yeah, don't get me started on that.
I'm sorry. But I just dumbfounds me.
Again, you're not
crazy.
Sorry at all.
Yeah.
No,
I'm not sorry.
It's just nuts.
Getting on to the end of the hour, Patty Griffin, I'm going to let you have the last word, but kind of the same question. You work with businesses, you work with a visitors bureau that gets support from the community and from local government. What more does our tourist industry need? The restaurants, the businesses, the organizations that are vital to this industry that keep it going. What do they need and what do you need that maybe we're not providing yet to the extent that we should from local government, state government, and beyond?
Oh, well, it's obvious we still, as a community, need to support our hospitality industry, our restaurants, our shopping. They need tourists. They need, you ask anyone in the restaurant industry or any of the hospitality industry, they couldn't survive without tourists. I don't think they could totally survive, you know, just with the local community. But, you know, we will need to continue to strongly market our destination. We can't just make an assumption that, hey, we're Chapel Hill, we're Carrboro, we're Hillsboro, people are going to come anyway. So we need to do what we can to tell them all the great things that is here, that, you know, the climate is awesome here. We're beauty, our scenic beauty is, we have outdoor hiking and things to do outside, the arts. One of the things I like to do when I travel is to pick up a keepsake that might be made by a local artist. Mm-hmm. I've traveled and done that before. And you can get tons of things. You can get everything from pottery and jewelry to chocolates to beer to so many sauces, so many products. And our destination is such a wonderful destination to promote. I think people love the destination, as Anthony mentioned. But we need to continue to invite people and say, we are open for business. Please come. You'll have a wonderful time. Spend money. Go home and come back.
That is our tourism and the arts panel on the forum and the forum on the hill. Thank you so much, Patty Griffin, Katie Murray, Anthony Carey, for being with us this hour.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
And you can head to our website, chapelboro.com, hit the Forum on the Hill tab to get more information about all of the other panels that we've got this hour. Thanks for joining us for this hour, the Forum on the Hill on 97.9 The Hill.
Thanks for listening to Community Conversations on the Forum on the Hill. Presented by Alliance Health, Chapel Hill Transit, Durham Technical Community College, Grub Properties, Trinsic Residential Group, and UNC Health. Join us tomorrow at 4 p.m. to hear more discussions by local leaders on community-wide issues.